Good morning, church. I'm very happy that we can gather here once again as a community to worship together. And we are all looking forward to the day that we can all come back to church and we can shake hands, we can have snacks together. And I think the time will come. And meanwhile, the school has started, and let's all be cautious, careful. Now we have kids going back to school, and let's continue to stay safe, be responsible when we are in gatherings, in-person gatherings, and we continue to pray for God's healing. Today's my sharing is sort of a mini series of part three of my last two sermons. And a few weeks ago, I spoke on the bread of life, and such a great gift from God, from Jesus. But people decided not to accept it. They all walked away. So that was my last sermon. So my last sermon, we were challenged. Have we left Jesus, or we continue to follow him? And today is part three of my three-part mini-series. As part of the study of the Gospel of John. Today we're going to look at a parable. And parables are a really interesting part of the scriptures that we study. Parables is just use the ordinary events, work most of the time, sometimes work, it's their labor. And they use the ordinary daily living experience and carry out some moral truth. So today we're going to look at a parable of the vine and the branches. And this is a parable that I'm sure most of you have heard it before. But parables actually are not easy to interpret. So if you study Bible commentaries, you realize that there are most of the time more than one interpretation of any parables. And actually, the Gospel of John is not that easy to interpret. You may think that it's probably the first book you study in the Bible when you became a Christian, but actually, Gospel of John is not as easy as you think. To fully grasp the meaning, to understand. And parables usually have different characters in the story. And today, we're going to look at this parable. There are few characters, and we're trying to find out the meaning and what these characters represent and signifies. But these parables of the why and the branches and the bare fruit is quite challenging for us because this parable set off by saying that if anybody who's not bearing any branches, not bearing fruit, will be thrown away and dry up, and they will be gathered and they will be cast into the fire, and they will be burned. Now, this is a very serious punishment. And if you know the gospel, you know that most of the time, probably all the time, when Jesus said that you are cast out into the darkness, into the fire, it would mean that you are excluded from the kingdom of God. And so this is a very serious punishment. So how we interpret the fruit, how we interpret the branches, would have an impact on our faith, isn't it? The vine and the branches. And who are these branches? What are these fruits? Which type of branches do I belong to. So this is a very serious punishment here that we're looking at this morning. And the different character, there's the vine dresser, and most of the time when Jesus tells us a parable, he would identify some of the characters, who they are. So those ones are easy. The Heavenly Father is the vine dresser, and Jesus is the true vine. And there are two types of branches. Now, the type of branches that do not bear fruit will be thrown out, will be dried, they will be burned. They will be outside the kingdom of God. Are we one of those branches? Does it mean that if we do not bear fruit, hold the fruit of the Spirit, leading people to Christ, being a good Christian, does it mean that if we do not behave and bear fruit, we will be excluded from the kingdom of God, that we may lose our salvation? So this does draw some concern if we interpret it this way. But I don't believe here it's referring to Christians that are not doing well. So you can relax a bit. So we are not talking about this morning in Jesus' Bible about Christians not bearing the fruit of the Spirit or not doing well in the church, doing ministries. So most of the Bible scholars would interpret this referring to the branch that's not bearing fruit, Judah, one of Jesus' disciples that betrayed him. So Judah did not fully abide in Christ. So this is the branch that did not bear fruit. So Judah was excluded from the kingdom of God. So what a relief for most of us here. But I would tend to interpret, I think Jesus here, the branches that do not bear fruit is more than just one person. I think Jesus here is referring to the Pharisees, the church, the religious leaders of the time. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You but of vipers, you brood of vipers, who want you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance." The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So it's very clear that Jesus here is referring to the religious leaders of the time. Pharisees, that Jesus, most of the time when Jesus told a parable, very often he is referring to this group of religious leaders, that they have the truth of God, but yet they do not bear fruit. They bear it in the ground, so that they will be excommunicated from the presence of God. They will be chopped down, thrown into the fire. And in the Old Testament, even back in the Old Testament time, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, "Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. fruit. So even in the Old Testament time, God is referring to the people of Israel as the vine tree, as the branches. But this vine did not produce good fruit, so God chopped them up and did not use them. So what are the fruits that Jesus is talking about in this parable here? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the true vine. So the fruit here Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 3, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Later on in the New Testament, we have more revelation from God, the fruit of the Spirit. So we understand more what the fruit is represent. But when Jesus was speaking to the people, peoples do not have the full revelation from God yet. So the fruit here Jesus is referring to is repentance. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance in Greek is metanoia, which means a change of mind. So the meaning is a little bit slightly different than how we define repentance today, returning from sin. Metanoia, the Greek word repentance, meaning change of mind. So it's a change of heart. So it includes an action of turning back, of a change. Snow pond just to feel sorry. Keep saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you keep doing it again, again, and again. So that's not true repentance. That's just feeling sorrow. So repentance in Greek, the Greek word metanoia, meaning the change of your heart, your mind, your thinking, returning, going back. So Jesus here, when he said the fruit, he meant we change, repentance, a change of heart, change of mind. Have we, when we became a Christian, we repent the moment that we have a new life, but slowly, are we going back to the life as before? So the first fruit that Jesus is talking about here is the fruit of repentance, a change of our life, our mind, our heart. So this is the first kind of fruit that Jesus is referring to. Later on, when we have the full revelation of God, we understand that there's the fruit of the Spirit. Do people see love in our life? Do we bear fruit of the Spirit? Do we show love in our life? Do we feel of joy, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Peace, do you feel the peace of God? Do we have patience with people? Do we show kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness to others? Do we exercise self-control, fruit of the Spirit? So the first kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about here is our life change. Do people see the repentance, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life? And there is a second kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about here. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Go and bear fruit. So the second kind of fruit, which actually I've shared before, as a disciple, we have to make disciples. Not only that we become a disciple of Jesus, we have to make others to become disciples. So Jesus telling the people around, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a true disciple, not only that you have to bear fruit in your life, that people see this change in you, fruit of the Spirit. And we have to also bear fruit, the eternal fruit, fruit that would remain, that will last, salvation. Bring people, change people, and bring people, make people to become disciples of Jesus. Go and bear fruit. This fruit will remain. The people of Israel, they did not share God's blessings with the world. They kept it to ourselves. They buried it in the ground. So God took this valuable salvation from the people of Israel and give it to the rest of the world. So are you bearing fruit? Have you been sharing, making other people to become disciples of Jesus? And then in this parable, Jesus went on to teach us another lesson. In order for you to be able to bear fruits, God has to trim you, prune you, to correct you, to cleanse you, to clean you. The branches of the vine tree is useless because you cannot make furniture out of it. It's too soft. It's not even good for burning. And you cannot use it to build houses. They're so soft. So the branches of a vine tree is only good for bearing fruit. So when it is not being used, when it's not bearing fruit, then it is useless. God will trim it, clean it, prune it, and throw it away. For a branch to be able to bear fruit, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Isn't this always the teaching of Jesus? Those ones who bear fruit, Jesus, God will make them even bear more fruit. And those ones who are not bearing fruit, God will not use them. This is always the consistent teaching of Jesus. God will clean those branches, the useless branches, and trim the wine branches, the wine tree, so that it can bear more fruit. And trimming of wine trees is really important. So I studied a little bit on the internet to understand it a bit more, because in BC, in the interior, we have lots of, if you go to Kelowna, a lot of vineyards. I'm sure you've been there before. And each year, the vine dresser, the farmer, the gardener, the keeper, have to trim the vine trees in February or March and trim off all the dead branches to trim it smaller so that it can bear better fruit. And then in August, after the fruits been harvested, then the gardener have to trim it again to get ready for next season. So twice a year, the vine trees has to be pruned, trimmed, so that it can bear fruit. So Jesus here is telling us a very important lesson. If you want to bear fruit, God will trim you, will prune you. So this is almost a promise. Unless you don't, you want to be pruned, you don't want to be cleaned, God cannot use you. It is a dilemma, isn't it? He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit, not just fruit, more fruit than before. So how does God prune us? We immediately think of that God will give us afflictions, sufferings, sorrows, challenge, tests. We will suffer and then we will become more stronger. No! Jesus here very clearly said that you are already clean, you're cleansed because of the word which I have spoken to you. The very first equipment, tools that God will use to clean you, to prune you, is not afflictions, sufferings. It is the word of God. You are clean because of the word of God. Charles Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, he said that God's first tools is always the knife of his word to prune you, to trim you. And his word will clean us, and his word will prune us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is like a knife that pierces into our heart. And God used his word first. I said first, second is coming, to clean us. And if we hold on to his, John 5:31 says, if we hold on to his truth, then we are his disciples. And if we keep his, meditate on his laws, Psalm 1 says, if you delight in the law of the Lord, if you meditate on his law day and night, then we will be like a tree planted by the stream of waters. And we will yield fruit, we will bear fruit in seasons. We don't have to worry. We don't have to try hard. If the tree is planted next to a stream of water, we will bear fruit in season. But how often do we even read God's word? There was one time a pastor and his wife were invited by a family to their home for Christmas dinner. So after the dinner, so the pastor and wife left, and then the wife told her husband and said that, I think the pastor stole one of our knives. And that husband said, do not be kidding. I know our pastor is poor, but I don't think he'll be poor enough to steal our knife. The wife said, no, I saw him pick up our knife and wipe it clean, put it on the table, and then when I wash dishes, we are missing one knife. So the pastor, the husband said, no, don't tell anybody. So next year, that couple invite the pastor and wife to their home for dinner again. And then the wife just cannot hold it back, and then said very nicely to the pastor, Pastor, did you take one of our knives last year when you were here? I'm just curious. And then the pastor said, no, I did not take one of your knives home. I just cleaned one of your knives, and then I just put it inside your Bible. So how often we open our Bible? Once a year? When we are not preparing for Sunday school or for our sermons, for pastors, do we open our Bible? We have to read the Bible. This is God's pruning equipment. But not just to read it, but we have to let the word of God to prune us. When we read the scripture, when we hear the sermon that this Jesus is the bread of life, are we eating this bread? Are we taking this Jesus life into ourselves, into our heart? When last time when we hear that the sermon that many people, followers, disciples, deserted Jesus, and Jesus asked, are you going to desert me? This Jesus saying is actually speaking to you. It's not just a reading. Jesus is asking you, have you deserted him? Have you made other things in your life a higher priority than him? So every time when you read the Bible, you have to read it for yourself. You have to treat it like a pruning scissor, a cutter, that God used the word to trim you, to trim away your ego desires, to make you clean, so that you can be a branch that bear fruit. But if you just read the scripture for other people, if you just read it for your Sunday school, for the Sunday school class students, if you just preach the sermon for the listeners, then your life is not being pruned, not being changed. Every sermon that I prepared, the sermon spoke to me first. Every time I prepare the sermon, I ask God to use the scripture to prune me, to clean me, to trim me. And every time I read something that God is saying, warning us, I make that a warning for myself. When we read the scripture, we have to read it for ourselves. Most Christians don't hear God's voice because we have already decided we are not going to do what He says. Isn't that very true? No matter how many times you read the Bible about tithing, you have already decided, I'm not going to tithe. No matter how many times you read the Bible say that you come and follow me and drop everything, but you have already decided you're not going to drop those things, but you will continue to follow him anyway. But how many times when you read that you forgive the people, forgive people who offended you, but you have decided I'm not going to do that, but you will continue to follow him. We continue to follow him, but we have already decided we are not going to drop all these other things that we are carrying on our shoulder, in our heart. That's why we cannot hear God from his words. God used the scripture first to prune us, but when it doesn't work, so Charles Spurgeon said, when it doesn't work, then God will use the handle of the knife to hit you. Then God will use afflictions, challenges, sorrow, maybe even sickness, difficulties. A famous preacher, William Sansler, he was a prominent evangelical Methodist preacher in the 1950s. And he was a hard-driving preacher. And he wrote in his diary that, I live a very busy life. Sounds familiar to some of us. No time to think, no time to pray, even to meditate. I don't have an interior life, no quietness and poise. He rushed to everywhere, no new thoughts of man or revelations from God. And finally, he became ill. So when he was ill, he wrote, I rush about too much. I cannot rush anymore. I talk too much. A little talk now tires me. I did not pray enough. I have plenty of time now for prayer. I was proud of my health and work. Now my health is gone and my work is limited. I never really had time to look. And now I have plenty of time to look. How true that is. God always used first his word to prune us. But when it doesn't work, when we are not listening, or we are not willing to change, God will use the handle of that knife to hit our head, affliction. But let's pray that we do not have to wait until that comes. And let's obey in God's word. Let's abide in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much, much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in Jesus in this chapter 15 of the Gospel of John was used 11 times. Abide in me, abide in me. So if you, after this sermon, worship, you forgot what I said, remember, abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus meaning remain in him. Like a branch connected to the vine. Because apart from the vine, we can do nothing. we cannot bear any fruit. But very often we try very hard to bear fruit, isn't it? This is the expectation from the church, expectation for people. We try very hard to bear fruit. That's how we have burnout. Because this fruit is our own effort. This is not fruit from the vine tree. This is work. This is product of our effort. We become burnout because we try so hard trying to help God. We're trying to do God's work. We try so hard using our own effort to produce fruit that of ourselves. What kind of life we have will bear what kind of fruit. How high our water level, the sea level is, the water can only go down, cannot go up more than the water level. We cannot bear fruit if our life do not bear fruit in us. When I prepare each month my sermon, sometimes I feel that that's all I can share. Sometimes I told Cynthia, that's all I have for this week. I can only deliver so much because I have only received this much from God. I have to go deeper into this relationship with God. From my years of ministry experience, when I was young, I tend to do a lot of work. Very often rely on my own strength, my energy, because I'm a person that has lots of energy. But as I serve the Lord more, longer, and deeper, I realize that I can only serve as much as I have received from Him. I can only preach as much as I have received from my God. I have to spend more time, more effort to abide in Him, to root myself deep with into Jesus, and so that I can have a message for my people, so that I can bear fruit for Him, not for my own effort. When you are quiet, think of what brought you joy, happiness. In your spare time, what do you enjoy most? Playing golf or meditating? What always occupy your mind in your leisure? Money, power, position, that vacation, or Jesus Himself? If you can answer those questions, then you know how close you are connected with God. We have to keep His word in our life. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. It's like a circle, right? There's no beginning and end. When we abide, how do we abide in Jesus? Through His word, not by daydreaming or not by just meditation. Meditation without God's word is actually very dangerous. Nowadays we all talk about spirituality, but spirituality without God's word is very dangerous. Our abiding in Christ is through the words of God, through the scripture. And through the scripture, God speaks to us, then we abide in Him. So it's a circle. You cannot find the beginning and the end. We abide in Him through the word of God. Those ones who are willing to be pruned by God through His word, they will bear fruit. In my life, when I look back, it's not what people, preachers, elders, leaders said that impacted my life. It's always the life of those people, those leaders, seniors that impacted me. I think back, there's this one elder greatly impacted me in visitation. His care for people after so many years, still very vivid in my mind. And this other pastor, every time I visit him in his home, He was reading, always reading the Bible. He was always reading commentaries. One time I visited him, he was reading a commentary on the theology of the Romans. I mean, that's not something that you do in your coffee time. And I always love to talk to this senior sister in Hong Kong. Every time I talk to her, I just experience this joy in her life. And I love talking to her just to share a part of her joys. It's people's life that impacted me all these years. We can try very hard to produce fruit our own effort. One of these is actually fake grapes. They're made of plastic. One of these actually real. Can you tell which one is fake, which one's real? Andrew?
This one is fake.
He's wrong. So you cannot tell, isn't it? I'm not going to tell you. One of them is fake, but it looks so real. A fake grape looks very real, looks great, but it cannot be produced. It has no impact. It cannot be produced more grapes. Real grapes, they can produce more grapes. Fake grapes. If we base our own effort to produce work, we will be very tired. We will get burned out. And our fruit, God does not appreciate. But when we are connected with Jesus, we'll bear natural fruit. I really like this saying from Hudson Taylor, a great missionary. The branch of the vine does not worry and toil, and rush here to seek for sunshine, and there to find rain. No. It rests in union and communion with the vine at just the right time. God's time is the right time, not our time. And in the right way, God's way is the right way. It's not our way. We're always trying to help God. We worry that God cannot manage the ministry. We're trying to use our effort, our thinking, our skill, our secular experience even, to help him. But in God's way. And there is the right fruit found on it. Right time, God's time. In the right method, God's method. And there is the right fruit, God's fruit found on it. Let us so abide in the Lord of Jesus. We do not have to try even. It's a natural, very natural fruit. We will naturally bear fruit. But if our life is not abiding in Christ, we will be very tired. We will be disillusioned. We will be frustrated. Our ministry will not bring us joy. It will not even bring other people joy. We all sometimes have to even experience burnout because we rely on our own effort. People keep asking me, you know, Norman, how can you serve so many years without burnout? If we rely on your own strength, you will burn out. But on the other hand, if this God, Jesus in you that produces the fruit, all you have to do just lie inside him, abide in him, rest in him. The right time, in the right way, the right fruit will be bear naturally in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that this morning, through your teaching, this parable, you reminded us once again, we have to abide in you. Apart from you, we cannot bear fruit. The fruit we bear is our own work. Father, help us to connect with you, to spend more time with you, to abide in you, and so that we can live a fruitful life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.